WOOO Portland. It is just a minute before the top of the hour, 10 o'clock on a gorgeous fall day. Coming up this morning on The Boo at 10:15, it's Flashpoints, which explores the secret government of the United States with noted investigative reporter David Talbot and professor, author, investigative historian Peter Dale Skoot. And at 11 on The Recovery Zone, host Stephanie Potter speaks with author Janet Cascadia about her visionary novel, The Tyranny of Psychopaths. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support in our membership drive last week. If you missed it, it's not too late. Just go to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today. And next up, now, we have Chris Andre, hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary.
Cascadia. Today is, of course, Wednesday, September 23rd, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Coming up today, we have guests. We have Josh Laughlin with Cascadia Wild, bringing us an update on the Elliott State Forest and how it is surviving under the constant threat of destruction. Also, we are very fortunate to have joining us again today is Mike Meese with the Buffalo Field Campaign. He is going to let people know a little bit more about the event. Really exciting this evening at the Bison Coffee House, 3941 Northeast Cully Boulevard. Very, very easy to get to, and well worth it. There's going to be music that you just heard. That was, of course, Good Sheila Gia and Mignon Gailey. They'll be there. There will be storytelling. You can find a lot more about wild bison, buffalo, and you'll hear exactly how you can get involved for pretty much nothing but your time and effort and good heart in doing volunteer work this winter in Montana, protecting the buffalo from being hunted down and slaughtered for no reason whatsoever, being driven out of Yellowstone into Montana where they are gunned down. It's an absolutely horrible sight. Volunteers go out, they document what is going on there, and you can see it online. It's very difficult to get through, to tell you the truth. It's very difficult to watch this. It's a little bit unbelievable that people can actually do this. But we're going to hear more about that, how we can stop it. There's always a way to confront these types of bloodshed. There's not always, but this is one case where it is possible to do something, and your volunteer time can make that happen. Today, of course, is the autumn equinox. It is, of course, the day that Pope Francis, you know the saying, after somebody's committed mass murder, the neighbors all gather around and they say, "And he seemed like such a nice man," right? Well, Pope Francis is planning to canonize Junipero Serra. There is a lot more that we could talk about that. There's a lot missing from history, and that, of course, is because it is written from a cultural imperialist point of view. What Junipero Serra did, even when facts are presented as they claim and claim to be facts, there is so much more to the story. North American journalists are writing about this, that the Indians don't like it, and that there was genocide and there were beatings. And what is the Pope thinking in doing this, right? But there are a number of things missing from the story, and as with any historical narrative, interpretations depend a lot on the interpreter. And the controversy over Junipero Serra is not wrong or manufactured, but is evidence of how totally and completely post-colonialism has taken over academia and seeped into the public sphere. According to Crux, roughly 25% of Native Americans are Catholic, and especially for them, this story is much more complicated. So, Pope Francis is preparing to elevate Serra's legacy. He's inevitably raising another question. In 2015, is it possible to see a white European who came to a foreign land with the express purpose of converting Native peoples as anything but a cultural imperialist? Well, the answer to that is pretty stark. There's a few headlines. We have so many important guests, though. I want to get these voices on the air. It's hard to avoid this, though. Hillary Clinton, of course, has reversed her stance on the Keystone XL. She now opposes it. And the Oregon Department of Transportation says that they're planning to shut down a growing homeless camp on North Interstate here in Portland. Strangely enough and eerily enough, all of these stories, though seemingly separate in time, place, and point of view, are all tied together because we all share this planet as our habitat. And whether we can see it immediately or not, all of these stories are very deeply linked. The Department of Veterans Affairs continues to retaliate against whistleblowers. And yesterday, the National Campaign for Nonviolent Resistance marched from the World Bank to the gates of the White House and demanded a meeting with President Obama to discuss the impact of climate change as a result of Obama's wars. When we think about war, we think about bloodshed and loss of life and the terror that involves. We forget, too, that this is perpetrated not just against people, amongst people, but it also is perpetrated against the planet that we share. We are part of this environment. We are part of our habitat. And when we kill each other, we kill the planet. That said, we want to speak now with Josh Laughlin, it's a good steward of the planet, and finding the good fight to preserve and protect Elliott State Forest. Good morning, Josh, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So much going on today. I guess it must be the equinox that brings these things out. How dare the Pope Francis canonize Junipero Serra on the equinox and in the current context of colonialism, imperialism everywhere. Again, these are types of oppression that affect everything. We think that we can do these things to each other. We can far more easily justify doing it to the last of our wild forests. Can you let us know where we are right now as far as Elliott State Forest is concerned? Just bring us all up to date, if you would.
Yeah, you bet. And for listeners that don't know, the Elliott State Forest is a 93,000-acre publicly owned state forest in the heart of the Oregon Coast Range, just inland from the Pacific Ocean, northeast of Coos Bay. And it's unique because these are lands that were given by the federal government to the state for the sole purpose of funding education. And for decades, the Elliott State Forest had been clear-cut. Its old-growth forest had been decimated to fund school children. A horrible arrangement to have to pit school children against the protection of our remaining old-growth forests. So Cascadia Wildlands and allies worked to halt the clear-cutting through a successful Endangered Species Act legal challenge. And that's stopped the bleeding down there, so to speak. And the state of Oregon has now decided that it has to dispose of the Elliott State Forest because it's no longer benefiting school children. So we're working overtime now to ensure this forest that's priceless for the clean water it provides, the carbon it stores to mitigate climate change for the salmon and older forest species values. We're working overtime to make sure it's not disposed of to a entity that may clear cut it, and working to ensure it's maintained in public ownership and that the common school fund that it's associated with is made whole, so we no longer have to pit school children against protection of our clean water and our old forest. So a timeline has been set by the state for this to get figured out. Again, we're working and having conversation with public agencies to figure out how to maintain this forest in public ownership so the public isn't met with locked gates and no trespassing signs in just a beautiful place that they've used as their playground for decades. It's a really important landscape, not just for imperiled salmon and wildlife and for the clean water it supports, but for recreation enthusiasts, for hunters, for anglers, for mountain bikers, for hikers, birders, and so forth. And again, the public does not want to be met with lock gates and no trespassing signs on the Elliott. So we're working tooth and nail to ensure this is kept in public ownership.
So why is it that we don't hear more about this in mainstream media? The Oregonian has not really, not that I'm a devoted reader of the Oregonian, but little has been said. It seems that there's somewhat the shroud of secrecy around these operations, and that if people knew more about it, they would be very likely to get up on their hind legs and say, no, we're not going to let this happen.
Right. Well, the state of Oregon has actually been very transparent about this process that it's going through. Perhaps it hasn't garnered the press attention, media attention that it deserves, but so much is at stake right now. This is one of the largest swaths of contiguous older forest in the Oregon Coast Range. If you fly over the area and get a bird's eye view, the Oregon Coast Range is one of the most heavily logged places on Earth. It's a patchwork of logged over and beat up landscapes, and then you've got this hotspot of biodiversity that still exists there. Approximately half of the 93,000-acre Elliott State Forest has never been logged before and provides incredible aquatic and terrestrial habitat for imperiled species. It's an incomparable carbon sink to mitigate climate change. These big towering old-growth forests really immensely store significant amounts of carbon to help us mitigate climate change. And we're continuing to work towards a solution that no longer pits school children against protection of these outstanding values that make Oregon so special. And we believe Oregonians want to see their public old-growth forest protected, their wild salmon recovered, and not sold off to a multinational timber company that is actually one of the possible outcomes that could happen here. So Oregonians are going to need to really step up to the plate.
Josh, we've got running out of time. So if you could let people know exactly where they can go to do that.
Absolutely. Well, they should weigh in to the governor, the secretary of state, and the treasurer. That's Kate Brown, Jeannie Atkins, and Ted Wheeler. And they are the trustees, if you will, of the Elliott State Forest. And they're the ones that need to be addressed, that have the ultimate say on what happens with the Elliott. Let them know they want to see, that the public wants to see the Elliott protected in public ownership for the outstanding values that it offers us at no cost.
Josh, thank you so much for that. We can put all that information on the KBOO website. And I do encourage listeners to take action on this, because when it's gone, it's gone. It takes millions and millions of years for a forest to evolve. You cannot plant a forest, and when it's dead forever. So take action now if you want to see the Elliott State Forest preserved in perpetuity for, guess who, our children. And that said, we want to move right on to Mike Meese, who is with the Buffalo Field Campaign, and he joins us right now because today, this evening, 7 p.m., at the Bison Coffee House, you have an. If you loved that music as much that you heard at the beginning of the program, if you love that music as much as I do, and I just cannot stop listening to it, it's beautiful. It's also politically very inspiring. Today, it is, of course, the autumn equinox. Pope Francis is canonizing Una Paracera, and what a disgrace to. Please, Mike, just let people know where, when, and why they should turn out this evening.
Well, your tax dollars are doing another beautiful thing you should be proud of, and that's killing America's last wild free-ranging genetically deer buffalo. So tonight we're going to talk about different ways you can get involved in locally, different reasons why you should, but also inspire people to basically now is the time we need to stand up if we're ever going to leave anything for our children. And just to motivate people to get involved with something, something in their heart, something that's passionate, something that will leave something for our children that we can be proud of. And that's the message of the Buffalo. To get involved, do something, and get off your lounge chair and make a change in this world that we can all be proud of.
Thanks, Mike. And we'll see you this evening at the Bison Coffee House. That is at 3941 Northeast Cully. It's so easy to get there. It is so worthwhile. The music is incredible. The message is even more important right now. Defend the last of the wild buffalo that we have. First Nations, count on you. We've already done enough to destroy tradition and a way of life. So let's get out there and do what we can to redress those ills. Thanks again for that. This has been Cascadia for Wednesday, September 25th, Autumn Equinox. Patsy Kohlberg engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Patsy. And, of course, Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.